what's your relationship like with your spouse, with your friends? Maybe you're not married. Maybe it's with your parents. Maybe it's with your schoolmates, neighbors, parents, children. What are your relationships like? And how about the most important relationship, Jesus Christ? How's that relationship going? See, God wants us to grow in that relationship, and that's really what I want to talk about today, is supernatural relationships. But it starts with a supernatural relationship. How many know the cross goes both horizontal and vertical? The cross, it's relationship with God and relationship with one another. But we got to get this one down before we're going to get that one down. Are you with me? You know, in Jesus' day, some people had a relationship with knowledge. And if you study and you understand history and the custom of the day, the Greeks deified knowledge. And they had more of a relationship with what they knew. It's more like what they know instead of who they know. Are you here? Now, there's nothing wrong with knowledge, and there's a place for knowledge, but knowledge can't replace God. I think it's Corinthians 8. It says knowledge puffs up. So I'm not putting it down. I'm saying we have to build on that and go beyond that. And that's what Paul did. Paul came to the Greeks, and he reasoned with their knowledge about the one they needed to know about. So some people have a relationship with knowledge, and they deify knowledge. And even today, some people deify the knowledge more than they have the relationship. And they need to know the one who the knowledge points to. Paul kind of laid this out, and we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20 is where we're going to live today. This text, 5 verses, I want to read them to you. 1 Corinthians, there's no outline, sorry. I just was running behind and spaced it out, so you can have it. There's 3 points in this message. Each one has to be something to do with 3 things that you need to know, so you're going to know 3 things, and I'll give those to you in a minute. So if you're taking notes, Ephesians 1, 15, 20 is the main text, and here it is. He said, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, and do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention for you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, this is where I want to focus today, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I'd be saying amen right there if I was sitting out there. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe is another place to say yes, amen. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Come on, Easter was just here. We were celebrating resurrection. It's all in this passage right here. And Paul starts it out. He said, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they believed. They were believers. And he said, and your love for all the saints. So you can have faith in Jesus Christ and love for people, but there's more. And he said, and so basically you can be fulfilling the great commandment to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and love your neighbors yourself, but there's more. Are you here? That's a good platform. And Jesus said, that's first and foremost, but it's not all. And so we need to take that more. And Paul was acknowledging that they were basically doing that much. But he told them 3 things. So basically, as a believer and loving one another, he gives them 3 things they should know. And that's what I want to look at today, 3 things. So we do need to love Lord with our heart. We do need to love people. Yet we need to get these 3 things. And today we're going to take a closer look into this little passage right here. So number one is to know him personally. Number one is to know him personally. And he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, one form of knowledge and wisdom can be summed up in this saying, and it's true. Knowledge is the acquisition of fact, or knowledge is the acquiring of facts. We have to acquire facts. We have to get knowledge. This is a good thing. It's good to go to school. Paul said, study to show yourself approved to Timothy. It's good to go to school. It's good to study. It's good to understand. But the Greeks took it to another level where they kind of deified the knowledge instead of, it'd be like me like just trying to walk through the exit sign instead of the door. The exit sign's pointing towards the door, and the knowledge points to a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I don't try to go through the exit sign. The exit sign's pointing me towards something. I don't worship signs and wonders. The signs and wonders point me to a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't put down knowledge, but the knowledge should be leading me to a greater relationship. Instead of deifying the knowledge, and so if knowledge is the acquiring of facts and wisdom is the application of, some people just acquire and they never apply. Jesus said that's not a good thing to do. He said he who hears these words and acts upon them, so there has to be something beyond just the acquisition of facts. Even though that's good, there's more to it. So, but in the Greek in this passage, it's not the same in context as what I was just talking about, the acquiring facts. That's not what he's talking about when he says spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That's not what he's saying, and that's not what he's conveying here. It's not what the Greek is saying, but there's something deeper here that's relational, and that's what I want to get into today. As Paul was telling the church, and he was trying to relay something, so I want to go back just a little backtrack to get us forward. So in the beginning of Ephesians 5 and 6, he's saying, having predestined to adoption. Basically, when I was reading this text, I thought we were done with last week, but at the end of it, God said, everything you preached in the last 4 weeks is all in this first half of the chapter in Ephesians. And I was like, okay, so this is really like kind of like a summary. And here it is. In verse 5 and 6, he says, having predestined us to adoption as children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, he's made us accepted. So here's grace. Is how we got accepted. And do you know the word that he accepted us means? It just literally means he has graced us with grace. Look at someone next to you and say, man, you need to double grace. Don't do that. You need to double grace. I need to double, triple, everything. I never forget when Teresa got her kindergarten class saved. She said, anyone want to accept Jesus? And they raise their hand. One kid goes, double me, Mrs. Jones. He had all these kids got saved, every one of them. Some were like, get me twice. Like, man, I would have lifted legs, too. I need four times. Just saying. And so we see grace, and grace with grace, powerful. And then he talks about Jesus, the source of our grace. The only way we were adopted was by his grace. Then he highlights redemption, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption was based on his grace. And then salvation, we know salvation, and he ties in all of it. And he ties in our adoption, redemption, salvation. Then he leads us to verse 13. He says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So this is where we were. We already were believers. We already were loving the people around us. And I say, look, if you come to someone, if we don't do anything else right, we need to get that one right. We need to love people. We need to love God. We need to love people. But that's a foundation. I want to take you farther today. Okay? Because there's more. He said here in verse 13, in him you've trusted, in him you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also believed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You could preach that verse in itself. That's so deep and rich. And I'm not going to preach it today, but it's, my goodness, it's got so many things you could unravel in this one little scripture right there. I just want to bring out one thing here. He said we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You need to understand, there's a strong message he's saying here, and we just think, okay, sealed, no big deal. In their day, sealed, what he's talking about is a wax stamp you seal something with, and guaranteed. Now, how many at Christmas time you get those little green card things, you send a package and you want them to guarantee it gets to the person, what do you call it, certified? You get a certified so that you get something back saying they got it. It's guaranteed they're going to get that thing. Are you here? He's saying this is God's guarantee. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. It's his guarantee we're going to get to heaven. He gives us a little heaven before we get to heaven. He gives us a little heaven before we get to heaven. They're really thankful over here, you guys. He gets a little heaven to us before we get to heaven. You guys, way in the back, he gives us a guarantee of heaven before we get to. They really got it. The center section, they gives us a guarantee, a seal that we get to heaven before we get to heaven. I thought that's what I was hearing. It was so awesome. And what you need to understand, there's a whole message in that one. I'm like going crazy with all this revelation. I'm like, I can't preach all this through such rabbit trails, but let me shoot this rabbit quick. Here we go. The guarantee, the seal. How many know the only people that put a seal on a package on Jesus' day were rich? Okay, who's the text says his possession. Who's getting sealed? That's us. He's talking about us. We're the ones who get sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're the possession. God gets us. You know what that tells us? That somebody is really rich who could put a seal. And so those believers go, if we're sealed, that means my daddy's rich. And I'm valuable. I don't know about you, but I thought I was worthless. And then I got saved and realized I'm valuable. Valuable enough to get sealed. Boom. Can I tell you something? If you got a package in that day and it had Caiaphas seal, people were like, don't mess with that. This Caiaphas is high priest. Dude's rich. Watch out. He's bad. Don't mess with the package. Make sure it gets there. It's not Caiaphas seal on me. It's Jesus. able to get that package to its destination. The devil says, oh, no, you ain't going to get there. I'm going to do all this stuff, Matt. You're never going to get. God is able to get that package to its destination. And you have a seal. And you're valuable. So those are all free. Let's get to the message. Here we go. And he said that, and all of that, that we're his possession to the praise of his glory. Then he brings us to the bottom line. And what's the bottom line of our salvation? What's it all about? What's God get from it all? Relationship, doesn't he? What's the bottom line to the suffering on the cross? Supernatural relationship. That we get to have a relationship. What's the one thing we get to do? What's the one thing until full redemption comes on this earth? What's the one thing? What's the bottom line to the wealth of everything we get on this earth? What's the bottom line to all of that? What's the bottom line to the riches of his glory? What's the bottom line? Supernatural relationship. What's the key to being joyful in the journey until we get to where we're going? Paul's giving it to you. That the Father, God, he said that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Wow. I don't know if there's enough glory for me. My daddy's wealthy with glory. That he may give you. He's going to give me. He's going to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, to give is a Greek phrase, and it means literally to give, hand something over, or completely to hand it over to someone, to give someone. Or it could be translated impart. Say impart. A lot of people questioning impartation these days. You know why? The devil's afraid of impartation. Impartation's all over the Bible. Paul said, I long to impart something to you. I long to come visit you to impart something, to bring an impartation. Paul got an impartation. Impartation, if you don't get an impartation, you're sad in trouble. You need impartation. And so the devil's trying to press on that. Impartation, that's a scary thing. Stay away from impartation. Just know whatever the devil's highlighting is definitely what we need. Just saying. Anyway, God wants to give us. So it could be translated impart, to give, to impart. So God wants to give us new revelations daily. And Paul received so many that he wanted the believers in Ephesus to receive them. Paul wants us. Jesus wrote letters to the church in Revelation because he wanted them to get a message. I don't want to start out hot and end up cold. Jesus already warned me in Revelation. I don't want to start out doing good and divided doctrine and exposing the Jezebel spirit and all the people with false motive and all that, and then all of a sudden sway to the wrong way or go so far to this end that I stop loving people. Or read the letters in Revelation. Jesus gave warnings to the church. Is anybody here? Grace has been poured out, but we also have warnings that we don't do certain things. We got to be wise. Be wise. It's written. But what if Paul wrote you a letter? Paul, he wrote these letters. Guess what? He did. Because when he wrote the letter to Ephesus, he said, pass it around to the other churches. It's good for Ephesus. It's good for you. Look at somebody say, it's good for you. Because he gave it to them and they passed it around. He wrote the letter to the church in Colossae and then they passed it around to the other churches and it was known, they would circulate it. And now we have the Bible and we get to have all of those letters in one place and everybody gets to get them. So God wants us to have these same things he wrote. But I want to ask you this. Paul got it, and Paul never met Jesus except on the road to Damascus when he was Saul. Yet he knew Jesus, and this is my opinion, but I think Paul or Saul or Paul, I think he knew Jesus better than those who walked with him. I mean, look at Peter, look at James, look at Thomas, look at all, I mean, Paul, look at Paul, come on, Paul. But yet, how did he get to know him? He only met him on the road once, they only had a little interaction. So how did he get all this? What happened? First, go back to the beginning. What happened when Paul was Saul and Saul was on the road? What happened? He got knocked off his horse. Yeah, okay, he went down on the ground, but going down on the ground could be dangerous because it might be a bad impartation. In this case, it was good impartation. He goes down on the ground, he gets an impartation, because what happened? God gave him something. He met Jesus, and Jesus imparted something to him. Impartation just simply means taking a second coat you have and putting it on somebody. You ever gave somebody one of your pieces of clothes? Say, hey, I got more than enough coats, I'll give you my other coat. That's what impartation means. That's what Paul wrote when he said, I long to come to you and impart something. He took his coat and put it on you. I like wearing Jesus' coat. Jesus' coat fits, feels good. Oh, yeah, Jesus' coat. I want it all. Paul got impartation on the road from Jesus. But what he said here is that the impartation keeps coming because I got a spirit of wisdom revelation in knowing him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom gives us insight into the true nature of things, but revelation is the unveiling of the object being discussed. And in this case, it's God. It's knowing God. It's knowing Him. It's the phrase, in the knowledge of Him. He's saying a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of knowing Him. The word knowledge is epignosis, but what it means here is, it's like I told you, it's a different word of knowledge. This word means recognition. It means full discernment. It means acknowledgement. It means knowing. This word is not just the acquiring of a fact. This is knowing Him personally. This includes an intimate awareness of God's character and His will. Boom. See, philosophy says, know yourself. Whereas Christianity says, know God through Jesus Christ. And Paul's goal was to know Him. And in Philippians 3:10, he said, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. See, the pursuit of knowledge puffs up, and we do get to study to show ourselves approved, but it's all pointing towards a relationship that we get to handle that word accurately, so we get to know Him better. The goal is Him. The knowledge is a means to the end. That the goal is knowing Christ. It's having this relationship. And the spirit of wisdom and revelation speaks of this daily process. Now, I want to challenge you with this. If I never saw in the bush, and I'm an avid hunter, I eat the meat, so if you have a problem with that, then don't eat at my table, because we're always eating something I shot. Anyway, but I never saw a lion in the bush having school teaching all the little lions and telling them, this is how you get the animal, and you go after it, and you do this, and you do that. It's not exactly how they got it. Are you here? Huh? Lions go out, and they didn't just say, we go kill an animal. It's like, they watch the big lion do it. It's like, okay, the animal jukes right, we juke right, yeah, let's do that, and then you leap right. When they go juke left, you leap ahead of them, boom, boom, boom. That's how we get it. They learned. There's more than just a classroom knowledge. There's an impartation. They taught them. And so we get to learn from the line of the tribe of Judah. We get to learn not just by like one-time impartation, but a daily revelation of His grace. We get to learn to know the will of God. And this is done through relationship, a more intimate relationship versus just classroom. Nothing wrong with classroom. You need classroom, but we need more than that. And that's where a lot of Christianity stops short. So number two is, number one, we know personally. Number two, we need to know our purpose. And Paul tells us that in verse 18. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. We need to know the hope of His calling. We need to know our purpose. What am I called to? What is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? So one, we need to know in person. But two, we need to know our purpose. See, in relationship with Him, we know Him better. Thus, we discover our purpose as we discover Him. Do you get that? The greater our relationship, the greater our revelation of our purpose. The greater of relationship with Him, the greater we understand us. To know Him is not just to know His acts, but it's to know His ways. Psalms 103, it says, He made known His ways to Moses, but His acts to the children of Israel. I don't want to just know what He does. I want to know why and how. I want to know the will of God. I want to know how He moves. I want to know, like Jesus, what are You doing, Father? I want to hear and know. I want to know His ways, not just what He did, not just His acts. I could take and say, okay, Becca, have you ever been in a play or anything like that? Have you been acting anything, huh? You're not acting. Who's been actor? Okay, you've been an actor. Stand up. Okay, did you guys get to see her act at all? Any of your friends? You did? Okay, instead of just, what did you act in? Okay, is she a Little Mermaid? You saw her act like a Little Mermaid. You didn't just get to know what she, an act that she did or what she did, but you hang out with her so you know her ways, right? See, people just see signs and wonders, but they don't know the person. But if you hang out with her, you'll see there's a quality, loving, awesome person right here. Come on, give her a hand. Let's sit down. We don't just get to know what He did. We get to know who He is and why He did it and know the will of God. Are you getting this? Paul's saying there's something deeper. People say, well, you know, I came to church, I didn't get anything. Then you don't have the spirit that Paul's asking you to get. Because Jesus went to church every Sunday, as was His custom. Now, why did Jesus need to go and let men teach Him? Why would the Lord of heaven and earth, why would the Creator, why would the one who has all knowledge go and send Him to the teacher? can still read Luke and get something from Luke. Because I have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm always looking to know him better, and I can see something in Luke that I get to know Christ better because of that. Are you here? But when we shut down our knower and we don't want to know him more, then sometimes I think that's like, I've got all this knowledge, and that's the pride that puffs up that says, I don't need Luke. You need Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You need the whole crew. And you get, I've been getting a revelation of truth through those guys, and they never stop speaking because God never stops speaking of who he is. Because I have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, I want to know him more. And I'm saying, do you want to know him more? Do you come wanting to know? You say, Pastor, well, I'm just done. I feel like I've got all I can get from you. It's like, I hope you got that before you ever got in the church, because all I'm getting is what I get from him. And if I'm bringing you something today, I better have got it already from him. So I go get something during the week to bring to you on Sunday. So next week you couldn't have it because I don't have it yet. I don't have a clue what I'm going to bring you. I got to go get it to bring it to you. So if you think you got it all, then are you with me? I'm just saying, like, we humans need to go and we need to get in relationships and we need to stay in church. I don't know how I got off on that. Anyway, yeah, we need it. I have no clue how long I've been preaching because there's no clock up there. How long? I know what time it is. Yeah, so, wow. I want to talk about, real quickly, five streams, the vision that flows from Summit. One is this: we have fivefold ministry that comes, we get revelation like I just told you, and we bring it to you, and like a light bulb, it turns you on to learn to know his ways deeper. It's not so you can say, that was such a good message. It's so that it's pointing you. I'm the exit sign. I'm showing you where the door is. I'm the one pointing towards Christ. To the degree I know Christ, follow me. To the degree I'm not following the examples of Christ, don't follow me there. Don't follow me on the freeway and say, I got you, Pastor. You'll be speeding. It's not good. Not good. Can't tell the cop I was following my pastor. He's like, no, you got to follow the laws of the Lord. I'll get the pastor next time. Is it a truck? I got the truck covered. Okay. Go after it and fulfill it. So the fivefold's here to bring you more of that. And you know, we just need to be those who are hungry and always saying, God, I need a revelation of who you are, all that you have, all that you are. I believe God's planning churches that we're going to be this that God's called us to be an apostolic sending center, that as we plant churches, we're not just going to plant churches, but we're going to send people who carry this, what Paul said, who are constantly living in a revelation of who he is, that are bringing a revelation, because there's people, there's all kinds of churches. People say, well, why do we need another church, Pastor? Why do you got to go to a city and plant a church? Because there's people that need the revelation of who he is. They need it. Are you here? God's called us to raise up a people like that. And this word has really impressed me. In verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding. And Jack Hayford wrote something. I love Jack Hayford. He's one of my mentors. He's an awesome man of God. And he wrote, I'm just going to read what he wrote because I could never say it the way Jack said it. He said this on understanding. He said, understanding sometimes is interpreted heart. Thus, the passage could be rephrased like this. That the lens of your heart would be wide open, that you would capture a vision, that into the darkness of your past and the darkness of your present struggle, there would come the flooding light of the glory of the living God, that your heart would be exposed to the image of the Father's full color purpose for your life. sit under it so that it gets burned in us so that we get to know him better. Because I can't bring him the full color picture. I'm a few colors on the palette. Andrew brought us a couple more colors. Pastor Teresa will bring a couple more colors. Taylor will bring a couple more colors. There's a whole fivefold ministry, and the fivefold brings it. Are you here? And even in, from a large group to a small group, we do connect groups because in the connect groups, you get something you can't get in a big, giant meeting. And you get to ask and learn about the Father in an intimate way. I love this. In Brazil, they have these groups, and I hope we get some of these groups. So if you get this, I hope you take this to the Dan O'Dash and Steve and say, I want to do a group like this. What they did was, is they just started a group in a neighborhood, and it's just a miraculous group. They opened up their house, they went to the neighbors and said, God heals if anyone's sick, anyone has prayer, come on down here. People come down, people getting healed, people getting delivered, people getting saved, and the group starts growing, and then the group gets so huge that then it has to divide after 10 or 12 weeks. They start 3 or 4 more groups where, and everybody, and then someone needs to go to the hospital, they're like, just stop here first, and people getting healed, and they just went in the neighborhoods. All they did was just say, we're just going to go here and just give what we got. Do you realize that the most of the American church, that most, you have more theology and more knowledge that's been given to you than most people who are leading churches in third world countries? You've been exposed to more. You have more to give than you know. You're packing, and they're loaded. They're no safety on. You have a lot. And the devil's always telling you it's not loaded, and there's nothing in there, and there's nothing in here. You have nothing to give, but you have a lot to give. If you just get that revelation daily and then give it away, it's coming. I just can't wait till we have, like, just fires going off everywhere. And our missions, I mean, missions is like, you might have been on the Dream Center outreach, or you just might have been in the coffee shop. I was doing missions in Starbucks yesterday. It's like missions is everywhere we go. But missions could be like Sean and Brianna are in Mozambique, and they're setting up a missions base. They're setting up, we bought property. We need to dig a well. We're gonna raise money in the next 6 months for a well. We need $10,000 to put water there. It's shale. It's really hard. It's 2 to 3 times as much to dig a well there. It's really hard. But once we get down to the water, people will get free water. They pay 3 times the price for their water in that city. We're going to put water on the base, put walls around the base, put a facility on the base so you teams can go be there and be hosted. That's what we're doing. I need you to be with me. Even if you're here, but they're out there. So whether you're out there in Mozambique or whether you're here, we need to embrace the missions and realize God's called us to change the world. And thank you for those of you who've already, we've bought hundreds of audio Bibles. We've empowered hundreds of little Bible studies in the bush. And we're going to continue because there's over 100,000 people in Mushungwe. Not, that's a city, Mushungwe, but Ndau, that language, goes all the way to Zimbabwe. We're going to reach them into these remote bush villages with the Word of God. They can't read and write. You can't handle a Bible. They can't do anything with it. They'll use the thing for toilet paper. They'll rip it up. I'm not being facetious. I'm saying the paper's worthless if you can't read, but the talking Bible's priceless, and it's saving, and we're going to reach a whole tribe and put a tribe before the throne. So whether it's the grandiose end of this end of it reaching the world, or whether it's right here talking to someone down the street, we're a missional people. We have a missional mindset because I got something from him, and I get it daily, and I'm going to give it away daily because Paul said there's something there, a revelation daily I get to have with him. I'm believing for 50 acres of land out north Twin Oaks. Pray with me. Believe with me. Somebody's got it. People have land. They don't even do anything with it. There was a place that had missions land out there, and they weren't even using it for missions, and the guy died, and I'm like, dude, give it to us. Man, we'll turn that thing into a mission station. I want 50 acres. I believe we're going to have 50 acres of land in San Marcos. I believe it's out north Twin Oaks where we can have a mission sending station and train people to go short-term missions. breakdancing and all these different classes and ballet and tap, and they're there for an expression for Jesus. But my vision is that I know we're going to get a building in the round. I've seen it, and it's going to hold a lot more people, and it's still going to be homey. It's not going to be much more bigger that way. It's going to feel real homey, even though it can hold four times the people we have sitting here. But we're going to have a full stage where we can do drama and arts, and where we can host, like CYT has a place where they don't get dinged so much trying to use Escondido Performing Arts Center. Instead, we're going to use our Performing Arts Center. And I want to see classrooms right now. I said, we're going to have all these people coming in the fall, because we don't do any advertising for the arts, but all these people are finding out. They're on waiting lists. We can't let them in because the class is. We need more classrooms. I need to have multiple classrooms. I want to see more teachers raised up. I want to see more classrooms where there's studio rooms, where there's three and four studios where they can do multiple at the same time. We need these things. And you know what? All I'm telling you is God's doing something in the day that we live in this hour. And I'm believing that we're going to get it because he's raising up an army of artists that know Jesus, and they're going to come. One little kid said to her mom, she said, Mommy, my teacher knows Jesus. You think it's no big deal? Kid said, Mommy, my teacher knows Jesus. The world is sick of hypocrites. They're sick of fakes. They want people who know Jesus. You can tell when someone knows Jesus. You can tell when they know that and they have a relationship with a supernatural God. They love like him. They grace like him. And sometimes, like my fired up Irish wife, they'll be right there saving souls who say, I don't need heaven. Jesus has all kinds of faces, and we need to be those people. Come on. Come on. Come on. I just believe something's in the atmosphere. You can't stop it. You can't shut it down. It's already started. We went down to a church in San Diego, and the pastor wasn't spirit-filled, got spirit-filled. He's loosing the fuego, what we do here every week, they're doing there. It's like God's going to take churches that didn't believe in impartation. He's already doing it, and he's coming in an impartation. And we're going to see revival hit San Diego like you never thought. And these lines between are blurring, where he's mixing and joining and networking. And people are going to come together for one church, the Church of Jesus Christ, one harvest. It's coming. You can give him praise for that. I mean it. Oh. And the campuses. Oh, I want to see us on every campus. The third one to wrap it is to know him. It's, you have to know resurrection power. Paul, the third thing he said is in verse 19, and let me land this thing. He said, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? Say, towards me, who believe. In verse 20, he said, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What's that? That's resurrection power. We just preached on Easter. In Ephesians 1:19, he said, what's the exceeding greatness of his power? The word power is dunamis. Say, dynamite. That's what it means. Do you know what that word is? That's where we get the word dynamite. But it also means miraculous power. It also means the working of miracles. Working of miracles. This is the power towards you. That you would know the miracle power. This is what God's doing in the day we live in. He's taking people that didn't know the miracle power, and he's letting them know the miracle power. And some of you are going, I know the miracle power. I've received miracles. I've prayed for people. I've seen it happen. I would love doing this. How many people have received a miracle or prayed for somebody? Someone's got healed. You've seen it happen, either by your hands or to you. Raise your hand. And just look around. We need to know that miracle power to us so it can come through us. And if we don't acknowledge it to us, we won't get it through us. But this is what Paul was saying. It's something deep with him, the greatness of his power towards us. So we inherit the miraculous power as children of a supernatural relationship. We need to never forget that power comes to us. As Peter said in 2 Peter 1, he said, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to a life of godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory. It's a knowing him in a relationship. It's knowing that power, walking with it. It's taking that divine nature, and that's what Peter was saying. That divine turns out like it's knowing God. It's knowing how to live God nature on this earth. And in verse 19, where he says this, he says the working of his power in us, it's the word energia, and it means where we get the word energy. And so what he's saying is the same energy comes to us. And look what he says, this is Ephesians 1:20. He says, which worked in Christ. It's this, the word worked in Christ is energeo. It's the same root word, energy. He's saying the same energy that raised Christ from the dead, the same energy, resurrection power that raised Christ is the same that's extended towards you. I think three people are getting this. Do you understand? Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but he went back to the grave. Well, actually, he lives eternal because he yielded to Christ. But the power that Jesus went down into hell, and that resurrection power, it stopped sin for good. It stopped the power of sin. It conquered sin and death. It defeated death. I'm talking about a power that God extends to you that's more powerful than death. That's how come miracles can flow when you pray, because it's more powerful than death itself, more powerful than every sickness and disease. Jesus died on the cross that you would have this power extended to you. And Paul said, if you're really going to know Christ, you need to know these three things. You need to have this personal revelation where every day you're talking to him, not just about him. And one, you have this personal relationship with him, and that we're getting this. And then secondly, that we know our purpose because we're finding it as we know him. And thirdly, that we know resurrection power. It's miraculous power. It's not that we get so fascinated with the power that we look at the sign and forget about the door. It's all part of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you stand to your feet with me? I want to ask you, how's your relationship? I asked you at the beginning, how's your relationship? Would you bow your heads? How's your relationship? Is that power working in you? Is it getting stopped up when it tries to come to you that it's not coming through you? Because if it is, all you have to do is say, God, let it come to me and it'll come through me. I yield. I want to ask you, how's your relationship? Not in a condemning way, but in a joyful way. Paul's encouraging you, saying, come on and enter into a supernatural relationship with the living God. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, all you have to do is say, Father, forgive me, and he'll wash away your sins, and you'll be on the beginning of that journey. And I just want to ask you, with everyone's head bowed, if you're in this room and you say, I can't tell you I'm going to heaven, I can't say with surety, I can't say for sure, I can't say with assurance. Assurance means to put beyond all doubt. If you have doubt, then you're not assured that you're saved. But the Bible says that in 1 John 5:11 and 12, it says, these things were written so you may know you have eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has life. If you have forgiveness in Jesus, if the Holy Spirit, he comes into you, then you have eternal life, and you can know you have it. You can be sure as the breath that you breathe that you have it, and you can walk out these doors knowing you have eternal life. And I just want to tell you, that's the bottom line, is he wants relationship with you for eternity, and that's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, if you don't know that, if with everyone's head bowed, would you just look up at me and raise your hand and say, I want to know today. That's me right here. I want to know today. I want to make it sure. If you never asked for forgiveness, raise your hand. If you already have, but you say, I don't know that maybe I have it, maybe I don't, but I'm not sure, but I want to make it sure. Just say, I'm making it sure today. Just raise your hand and say, that's me right here. That's me. Amen. Anyone else, say, that's me right here. That's me. I want it. And if you're here and you say, man, I have that part, because Paul said they're believers. They had that, and they even love people. But you say, but I really need an impartation to love people, because I have the belief, but I'm stuck at the first part before your sermon started. I'm having a hard time loving people. I'm having a hard time with relationships. I'm having a hard time. I'm not past that. I need that love for people. It comes from He's not mad. He doesn't see you as the sin. Paul said, I've learned it's not, it's sin in my members. It's our nature. We have sin nature, but praise be to God that it's not I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. He doesn't see that. He sees you forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. He loves you so much.